This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode 104, so we have truly broken the back of the 100 episodes now. Today, I am joined by Mike O'Hagan. He has actually been with us three times previously, and testing my memory, that is episode number 72 and 84 and 96. There we talk about Mike's specific experiences, his business journey, which is a very long and distinguished one, how he came to outsourcing in the Philippines, and tips and tricks that he's had. So now we talk more broadly about the future of outsourcing, where it's going to go, his thoughts, and we just kind of chew the fat on what we both find as a very interesting topic. So I'm sure you'll enjoy this and learn a lot from this. If you want to get in touch with Mike, then please do. You can get his contact details on the show notes alongside all the transcripts and everything else. So that is at outsourceaccelerator.com/104. Welcome back, and today we've got Mike O'Hagan again. Hi, Mike.
Great to be back.
And today Mike is just an absolute guru when it comes to outsourcing. He's been outsourcing to the Philippines with one of his major companies now since 2010, I think. And he's been living over here, or certainly based over here, for a good number of years now. And so we want to just get to know a little bit about the industry and look at the outsourcing growth and potential and future of outsourcing and things like that. So, Mike, what is your view on outsourcing? Has been going 20 years now. Where is it going to be in the next 10 to 20?
Outsourcing processes is probably going to taper off in not too distant future with automation coming through. And AI is going to be a completely different kettle of fish in there. But in the meantime, we are running businesses today, and we should deal with them today and deal with profit today and get involved in them as fast as we can. And everything's happening faster. It's speeding up. I think we should have a little talk about the big changes in the world and how scary it is and how people get worried about it. A number of years ago, did a course in MIT in Boston, USA, in entrepreneurship. And we studied the advent of the motor car back in 1908. There was a major, huge shift in the world, and we'll just use Ford, it's an easy one to use, but Henry Ford developed this thing called mass manufacturing, and he produced a thing called a motor car. And there's no doubt that the motor car industry in a 15-year period decimated completely the industry of the day, which was the horse and cart industry. And at the time, everybody was upset, concerned, worried, and virtually every country in the world, the politicians passed legislation to protect, or designed to protect, the jobs in the horse and cart industry. And what we know now, looking at it, is, and we've seen this with other huge shifts, with the Chinese shift 30 years ago with manufacturing and a few other things, on the backside of the shift, the other side always looks ugly. And all they could see was the horse and cart industry was going to get decimated. Oh my, all the jobs are going to go, etc. The reality was that the motor car industry employed a lot more people than the horse and cart industry ever did, employed them on a lot better working conditions. If you know anything about Ford, you'll know that he introduced above ward pays, because and productivity-based pays, that if you worked harder and produced a more motor car, he'd give you more money. They were pushing the wages up as well. And of course, the entrepreneurs stepped in, and we needed better roads, and we needed service stations, and we needed all the other stuff that the motor car industry produced. So at the end of the day, this whole shift towards motor cars was a huge benefit to the world and a huge benefit to all the workers in the world. They all did well out of it. But yes, there's no doubt that let's not use job losses. Let's think that jobs change. And all those jobs that were in the horse and cart industry disappeared, and those workers went across, reskilled themselves through one way or whatever, and become productive in the motor car industry. Well, those type of changes are constantly happening, and they're happening again now with offshoring and outsourcing. And it's scary, and people are worried about it, and the worried about globalisation. But what we do know is at the end of the day, it all balances off and it does well. The economy in Australia is doing very well at the moment. I believe it's doing well because entrepreneurs like myself and yourself and a whole lot of others are developing worldwide businesses using the internet, using globalisation techniques, and that money is ultimately flowing back into Australia. Not the way the government used to be able to see it in exports, but it's still flowing in, and it's pushing up the lifestyle of the people in the country. So I think it's great for the country. It's doing well, and I think it's the future. I also know that you can't fight it.
Yeah, well, that's right, isn't it? There's an absolute inevitability about this. And a lot of governments, they try and, you know, put in protectionist and sanctions and, you know, try and stop the tide, don't they? But you really cannot stop evolution and the inevitable progression of humanity. And I think this is one of the major ones here. And, you know, you mentioned the motor cars, there was the Industrial Revolution, there was the advent of electricity. All of these things are massive catalyst to huge change within society. But I think the internet is one of the biggest ever, because it's really literally breaking down borders, it's making geographical distances irrelevant, and as you said, it's making business people in Australia, which was previously a very isolated, remote country in the middle of nowhere, they are now able to source their staff from anywhere in the world, notably, you know, a low-cost place like the Philippines, and then they're able to sell their products to anywhere in the world. Yeah, it's the internet is making an incredible world.
You can be a micro owner sitting in Timbuktu in Australia, running a worldwide organisation with massive amounts of money flowing back in. So easy today, it's not funny. And that's an advantage, and that's the advantage if we'll take that advantage as well. What you're seeing, I think, is a couple of things. I think 10 years from now, we're not going to talk about smartphones and iPads and all that stuff. I think we're going to talk about the time when the borders of the world literally dissolved and the world kind of became one. And I think we're going to talk about the time when large business, corporate business, was on the outer and small business grew up and grew over the top of it. The corporates offshored, outsourced 20 years ago, 25 years ago. They've had a massive economic advantage over small business for many years. That is now rapidly disappearing. And their Achilles heel is the fact that they're large and they can't turn quick enough. And today, you've got to turn quickly. And small micros, SME businesses, small, medium-sized enterprises can turn quickly, make decisions, like I did with my mini booms business when I got into Strife. And indeed, the 9 other businesses I've started in the last few years that are now run are all very quick decision businesses. Most of them have got fairly short lifespans, 3, 4, 5 years, because I know that technology is going to overtake them. I'm aware of that. I'm an entrepreneur. I can see that. I'm positioning for myself. I think that's the world we live in. And once you get that world and get into it, I think it's good for everybody.
Everything's fast now. There's a faster ramp up. There's a faster maturation curve, and possibly then also the faster demise of businesses. But then again, you just move on. Yeah, it's quite amazing. Yeah, I mean, I agree as well that as the interface becomes more and more normalized, because, you know, we've obviously had email for a number of years now, and even the outsourcing industry was born basically when telephony was cheap enough to have a telesales office in a different country. Then, of course, came the internet, then came greater bandwidth, and then more technology that you could put on that platform. And I think as it becomes more normalized that you know, at the moment we sort of arrange Skype conversations and we now have Slack and there's email, but when it's just naturally that everyone is communicating with some sort of computer interface, then there is no reason why anyone will hire someone in their hometown. Why not use the entire 7 billion people within the globe as your potential candidates? Yeah, it's really quite profound.
Well, it's entrepreneurs that are going to lead the way. You know, if you look at the Australian economy, in the last few years, we've been riding on the back of a mining boom. Now, that mining boom wasn't government instigated. That was instigated by entrepreneurs. You know, Holmes of Court and Lan Hancock and a number of others were major entrepreneurs that built an industry because they could see something coming and an advantage in there, and they built that industry. And then when the change came, Australia rode high on the back of that. Well, Australia as a country, and every country in the world, doesn't matter, we're talking to all the countries now, doesn't matter where you are, you can ride on the back of this if you adopt it and go with it. So it's really about little businesses now growing stuff. And if you've got some wonderful skill sets, you can now share them around the world anywhere. You can sell them everywhere. If you want be an entrepreneur and be an employer, you can employ people everywhere. That's the reality of the life that we're in. Unfortunately, some people it upsets. They don't understand it. And I get that. I do get that. Change, rapid change is scary in all societies. It always has been. But we can just look at history and see what's happened before, and I'm sure it's going to happen again. What's on the other side of this, I'm sure, is going to be a better world for us to all live in. Because there's one thing that has constantly happened with this whole free enterprise system is our standards of living has constantly improved.
Mm.
You know, there's no doubt that my standard of living, my kids are leading a better life than I did at their age, and I'm certainly leading a better life than my parents, and I'm well ahead of where my grandparents were. Their life was pretty fundamental compared to what mine is.
Yeah, I think people, naturally are very scared of change, aren't they? And they resist evolution. But you are absolutely right. Like, the world is improving and we're getting more free time, and there's talk of a living wage, and there's talk of people not needing to work 40 hours a week in the coming decades. So it's really incredible progression, isn't it? Now, we touched on originally outsourcing was the domain of big conglomerates. Now it's moving into the entrepreneurs and SMEs, which I find fantastic. And what I'm trying to do is bridge the knowledge gap and encourage more and more, or basically every business owner, to outsource or at least consider it. And are you continually amazed? And you actually gave me an anecdote. We won't name names, but there was a huge business based in Brisbane with a big telesales office and a significant business, hugely successful, and the boss still wasn't really aware of outsourcing.
Yeah, it was a call centre. The call centre had 300 people in the call centre, and he was completely opposed to outsourcing or offshoring. He came up, I run business learning tours under the name of Mike's Business Tours, and he came up on tour and had a look around and suddenly went ding and got it. They've come up and they've built here, and now they're part of a worldwide organisation. They were small, the small Australian part of it. They're now providing those services back into all the others, and what he's building here is phenomenally bigger than what he had in Australia. And it's just a change. He just suddenly got it. And it's just amazing how you can be, without seeing and understanding what this is about, having your own ideas, and then just sitting there. Because, as he said, if he'd stayed where he was heading to failure. There's no doubt about that at all.
Mm.
And this is a great opportunity. There are some wonderful opportunities here. In this, and as with all change, for all entrepreneurs, it needs to change, Look, news agencies were a license to print money when I was a few years ago. Now, of course, Mr. Amazon's taken care of that issue. Mr. Amazon's now working through and scaring a few of the large department stores as well. I see some of the little niche specialist stores are all doing well, but the large department stores have reached their use-by date, and that is closing off and is changing and moving on as well. These are all international competitors coming into your market. Uber, of course, has upset the taxi industry. These are all things. Now, those things will continue to happen. Whilst they are a challenge, at an increasing pace. Now, while that is a challenge, it's also an opportunity, because we should be the ones doing it to the others. That's what we should be doing. Why would these large businesses be American-owned? Why can't they be Australian-owned? There's no reason. We just need to think outside the box in the way we think. I'm sure we've got the smarts to do it. In most countries, there's plenty of people with the smarts to do it. You've just got to get yourself away from the tunnel vision you've got around the business models. I think employment is going to change. I think it's going to get a lot improved. I think what's wrong with the West at the moment is we're working extraordinary long hours and too many hours. And I think we need to address that. And I think that will happen. I think you'll find that a 20-hour working week, maybe a 30-hour working week, are going to become the normal very, very quickly.
Mm. It's about more intelligent delegation, really, isn't it? When there's 7 billion people in the world, and most of them, 5 billion are under the breadline, actually there's an opportunity to give people an opportunity in the world. And, maybe we work 20 hours a week and have a good life, but we're kind of spreading the economics and of of commerce and giving people salaries. Yeah, it's...
There's absolutely no doubt the connectivity of the internet is going to dramatically change the poverty equation, without doubt. The ability for these people to connect to the internet and learn and educate themselves is happening right now, and that's going to be a very short-term, quick thing. And once they're better educated, they're going to be connected to the jobs, connected to the markets, and they're going to become the entrepreneurs and the workers of the future. And I'm seeing it here in the Philippines. You know, I live here in the Philippines now. I've lived here now for, I think, 4 years now, on almost full-time basis. And as you realise, in the Philippines, there is a lot of poverty, but I'm also seeing a lot of these workers getting the idea, scratching together, getting a computer, connected to the internet. They're all connected to Facebook here. That's the way it is. Connected to the internet, and they're educating themselves, learning very quickly, and I can just see it changing dramatically.
To you and I, outsourcing is just so painfully obvious, and it's so simple. And yet, you know, I suppose both of our functions, you with your tours and me with the Outsource Accelerator, it's about telling people it's out there and getting people comfortable, getting people familiar, and just getting people to take that first step. Yeah, it's and what I find as well is it's a bit like, you know, if someone, their hobby is basketball, and if you're trying to sell them a set of golf clubs, they're just not going to be interested. So you have to show them golf. You have to get them interested in golf. You have to show them the benefits, and then they can buy the golf clubs, and they will love them. But it's amazing that outsourcing is just not on the radar of so many people.
There's a lot of misconceptions out there. It's not about low-hanging, low-productivity, low-skilled work, just doing structured processes. That was like 20 years ago. Nowadays, we're hiring people that can think. We're educating them. We're training them correctly into our workplaces. They become an integral part of our workplace. We see these as branch offices, not as a remote office.
And they're your staff. They're not just, you know, people behind the screen. They're your team. Yeah.
Yep. We're talking about building teams here now, not outsourcing to a third party to run a process. We're talking about building teams in common office space with all the different skills that you have in your team, all working together, all experiencing the downfalls and the wins in every business, celebrating those and focused on your business and growing your business. And the guys, hundreds of businesses I know doing this, are absolutely doing well. The few that come up here and try it half-heartedly and don't throw at it, don't train the people, don't treat them properly, don't connect with them, they fall over. And I see the other ones. We can see those that are winning and those that are losing. And if you do it right, it's certainly a phenomenally thing that's changing your market, for sure.
Amazing. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Mike O'Hagan. And if you want to get in touch with Mike, please do. You can find his contact details along with the transcripts and show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/104. And if you want to get in touch with us, if you want to ask us anything, then please do. Just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.